It doesn't matter if you love him or capital H-I-M. Just put your paws up, cause you were born this way, baby.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm your host, Andy Otto, and executive director of Twin Cities Pride. I want to welcome you to our show. Our goal is always to keep you in the know by hitting important topics, upcoming events, and let you know how you can get involved. But of course, we cannot start this show without saying good afternoon to my co-host, Rena.
Hello. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And good afternoon to all of our listeners out there. We're so happy that you are joining us today because we're covering a very important topic for the LGBTQ plus community today, which is mental health and mental health care. We are so happy to be joined in our studio by Ryan Fouts from Reclaim, a nonprofit group that is doing amazing work with our youth. And we just know that this is a topic that is extremely important and urgent, and we are all glad that you are here today because we are going to learn some very important information.
Yes, and Ryan, in and of himself, is an amazing human, so that's always an added bonus. We're glad you're here, Ryan.
Thank you so much for being
Thank
here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so, all right, so talk to me about what Reclaim does because I unfortunately think a lot of people don't know.
Sure, so let me start with our mission. And so Reclaim's mission is to increase access to mental health care for queer and trans youth so they may reclaim their lives from oppression in all of its forms. So what that looks like for us, we serve youth and young adults ages 12 to 25 and their families. And we really focus primarily on providing that direct mental health care to them. So individual therapy, family therapy, we have groups that we offer, couples and relational therapy as well, but really that focus is on providing that direct mental health care to youth, and then also working out in the broader community to increase awareness, to bring training resources, consultation support to other providers, consultation support to parents and caregivers who are wanting to know how to better support the youth in their lives, but really that foundation is that mental health care that we provide.
Yeah. How long has Reclaim been around?
We are actually celebrating our 15th anniversary right now. So Reclaim started up in 2009, was sort of its original foundation. The founder, Janet Bystrom, was a clinical social worker, still is a clinical social worker. She was working in other local nonprofits in homeless youth spaces, running some support groups for LGBTQ youth that kind of got going in the late 90s and into the early 2000s. And so she was doing some support group work. She was providing some therapeutic services. And her program was part of a larger, you know, youth nonprofit. But when the recession of 2008 hit, a lot of programs and a lot of services were cut. Mm-hmm. And the services that she was providing through that nonprofit, unfortunately, were cut as well. So she turned to her community for support and was able to raise over $30,000 to reposition and find a new place, and then created Reclaim in early 2009 as a new home for queer and trans youth. And it started growing from there, and here we are 15 years later. So
that's incredible
that she
was able to do that at that time, $30,000. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it shows the passion and drive and the importance. Like, people don't just give money when things aren't important. So clearly people saw the need.
Yeah.
Exactly.
When did you get involved with Reclaim?
I joined Reclaim in the summer of 2021. Mm-hmm. Coincidentally, Pride Connection, my first weekend at Reclaim officially was Pride weekend. So
sorry about that.
That was good. So I was
busy weekend.
So I was at our table and meeting folks, but I came on in July of 2021.
Wow.
Hey.
Wow. Where's your history? Where'd you come from?
Most recently, so I grew up in the Midwest. I was born and raised in Kansas in a small town. But then after high school, I lived out on the West Coast for about 18 years, first in Seattle for 11 years, and then in the Bay Area for 7 years. My background is working with homeless youth and young adults, primarily in street-based outreach and case management services, housing services. And then I was also part of a program in the Bay Area for about a year and a half right before moving here that provided social support to LGBTQ youth. We basically spanned everything between San Francisco and San Jose in terms of our service area providing support. So, but then I've been here, I just passed 4 years here in the Twin Cities, so.
We're glad you're here.
Yes. Thank you. I am wondering, because the work that you do is not easy. What called you to do this kind of work?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think I've always, thinking back, I've always had a passion and an interest in just sort of understanding how other people work and just what people are thinking and what they're feeling. And so years ago, sort of landed in social work as a career, started kind of somewhat randomly doing an internship with youth, and then it was sort of an immediate, this felt like where I should be, and the rest is history, as they say.
Okay.
That was back in 2005, and I've just been connected and working with youth since then. And I think the passion that I have for Reclaim and our mission is that sense of being able to create a safe, welcoming space for today's young people.
Yes.
I think being able to remember back when I was a teenager and just being able to think about, like, could things have maybe been a little bit different for me if I'd had a support like this? And so being able to be in a space now where I can help create and maintain that, mm-hmm. that space for young people today yes. is exactly why.
That is such a recurring theme yeah. on our program when we talk to people from the different nonprofits and service groups, and we talk to leadership, Andy mm-hmm. included, is all about the creating spaces and how important that is. And so often I have heard now, sitting here listening to the conversations, I try and think about, had things been different when I was younger?
Yeah.
Had there been a space for me when I, at that age? It's just such a recurring theme on this program. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's, I think, more and more, especially with all of the social things that's going on. I mean, we didn't have to deal with, I'm going to date myself here, we didn't have to deal with, the Facebooks and the Instagrams and
Snapchat.
The Twitter or X, whatever the heck you want to call it, Snapchat. You know, when we did stupid things, it wasn't caught on video.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, thank goodness, because I'd probably be in trouble right about now if my youth was caught on video. But, like, there's just so much going on. And I know when we come back from break, we want to talk a little bit about what you're seeing, because I'm assuming that the need for your services are just growing at probably an astronomical rate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much coming down on our youth right now. And so I can just only imagine what you guys go through on a day-to-day basis. So mm-hmm. before we jump into that, because I've got a million questions, don't let that intimidate you, Ryan. but we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll chat about kind of some of the things that you're seeing in the community right now with youth and how we need to help battle that a little bit, and what we can do as a community, not only just the LGBTQ community, but the Minnesota community as a mm-hmm. whole, and our allies, and how we can help navigate some of these things for our youth and make sure that they're getting through some difficult times in their world.
Mm-hmm.
So when we come back, we will look more into that. You're listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Without you by my side, but then I spend so many nights.
You are somebody that I don't know. But you're taking shots at me like it's Patron, and I'm just like, damn, it's 7 a.m.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on AM 950. I'm your co-host, Rena Heisel, as always, here with Andy Otto, Executive Director of Twin Cities Pride. And we are joined today by Ryan Fouts from Reclaim, whom we very, very much appreciate being here with us today.
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. we do. So we touched on this a little bit earlier about obviously a lot going on in the LGBTQ youth community right now. Statistically, There's a lot going on. There are typically at a higher rate of anxiety, depression, and unfortunately, higher rates of self-harm. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing kind of over the last year to 2 years change in you know, the mental health status of our youth?
Yeah. One of the things that originally comes to mind that I always like to make sure to highlight. So there's a national group called the Trevor Project, mm-hmm. Which is focused on preventing suicide for LGBTQ youth. And they do a national survey every year of the state of LGBTQ youth and their mental health. And 2022 was the first year that they separated out that data on a state-by-state level. Mm. And from what I know, they haven't released state-level data yet for 2023. But in 2022, they found that here in Minnesota, 49% of our LGBTQ plus youth wanted mental health care but couldn't get it.
Wow.
You know, so we're literally sitting at one in two people wanted support but couldn't. And some of the main reasons for not being able to get care, you know, youth were concerned about having to talk to somebody else about their mental health. Getting parental permission was a concern and a barrier. Finances were a barrier. Mm-hmm. You know, just sort of that general unease about bringing up topics related to this. And then I think the fifth, if I'm remembering correctly, the fifth most prevalent reason is that youth just had a sense that mental health care wouldn't work for them.
Wow.
Which is really sad to hear. Yeah. But and so, you know, we are seeing, as you mentioned, Andy, you know, suicide and mm-hmm. self-harm is a concern. I think in the same time frame, the Trevor Project found that about 43% of Minnesota's LGBTQ youth had considered suicide in 2022, and about 13% had attempted to harm themselves in some way. So,
oh my gosh.
And that is, you know, that tends to be statistically higher than their non-LGBTQ plus counterparts. Right. Just because of stress and concerns that they're experiencing, that folks might be experiencing at home or at school. You know, we are seeing a lot of some of the common concerns that we see at Reclaim. And there's really two big reasons, or sort of primary reasons, that young people will reach out to Reclaim. One sort of group that reaches out to Reclaim is youth who are exploring or questioning their gender or their sexuality. Yeah. And they want support around navigating that process. And so mm-hmm. our therapists will work with them in that exploration of kind of coming to a deeper understanding of who they are. Mm-hmm. The other group of youth that reaches out to us is LGBTQ plus youth who want to primarily work on another type of mental health diagnosis. So depression or anxiety, mm-hmm. post-traumatic stress disorder, trauma. And they want to come to Reclaim and work at Reclaim, even though they're not necessarily wanting to work on exploring their gender or their sexuality, but they know that their identity will be understood and respected
right.
mm-hmm. at Reclaim. And so that process won't get in the way of them being able to work on their depression or their trauma. They know that their therapist will be able to meet them where they're at, understand who they mm-hmm. are as a person, mm-hmm. and help them really focus on the care that they want to get. So. But yeah, depression and anxiety and trauma are definitely our big concerns that we're seeing at Reclaim.
So we always encourage, for one purpose of our radio program, Twin Cities Pride Amplified, is Andy wanted a way to reach our allies as well. Mm-hmm. And that we really are encouraging allies to listen to this program. Mm-hmm. So could you, for them who maybe are not even thinking of all of the different situations, could you elaborate a little bit on why LGBTQ plus youth, some of the extra stressors they may have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think, you know, there is just kind of a heavier concern and a weight as someone is navigating their identity around the coming out process, mm-hmm. and really having to navigate as a young person who might be safe, who could I potentially talk to?
Right.
You know, what would that look like if I do have a conversation and it doesn't go well? You know, often, you know, sometimes youth will sort of sit in that process maybe for months, maybe mm-hmm. for years before they reach a point where they feel comfortable talking to someone. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that, you know, as allies in the community, I think there are things that people can do to really just communicate their level of openness. And, you know, if you're in a space, whether you're like a teacher or a community member, where you're sort of naturally engaging with young people, just finding your own ways to communicate, to bring up topics around gender or sexuality, or to maybe talk about what you're seeing in the news or on TV, you know, maybe media that you come into contact with that has LGBTQ characters, just sort of opening conversations and dialogues around that might help young people recognize that maybe you're someone that they could talk to.
Right.
You know, really simple things when you're introducing yourself in new spaces, sharing your name, sharing your pronouns. Pronouns are hugely important for LGBTQ plus youth. And that simple act of sharing your own pronouns, it might seem very simple, but it's a really profound thing where someone might be able to pick up and recognize that person just shared their pronouns. Maybe they get it. Maybe they would understand.
Right.
Maybe they would see me, like if I talk to them and I tell them that, you know, I don't feel the way that everyone perceives me. So just those simple things can really make a huge difference.
The simple things of conveying the fact that you're a safe person and that the youth should feel comfortable, safe to be themselves around you could make a huge difference.
Exactly. Yeah, research really shows that, especially for LGBTQ plus youth, having at least, literally just at least one supportive person in their life helps dramatically reduce mental health concerns, particularly around self-harm. And it can be a family member, it can be a teacher, it could be someone at your church, it can be a friend, it could be, you know, a neighbor. But as long as they know that there's at least one person in their life, it will dramatically help to improve their mental health outcomes.
I mean, I remember when I was getting to the point of coming out, all those things went through my head. Like, okay, what am I going to do if my parents look at me and say, get out? What am I going to do if I meet that backlash or my friends are like, well, now I'm not going to be friends with you? I mean, you put up this almost defense mechanism of like, okay, if this happens, I'm going to be okay because I've put this wall. And now, I mean, I know I got this very tough exterior, like nobody's going to be able to hurt me because it's this preservation, protection mode. And having that one person that's like, oh yeah, you know, my pronouns are he, him, or whatever that looks like, is like, oh, you're my safe space and it's okay to say that. And so as allies, I think that's one thing, you know, to Ryan's point, like making sure that, you know, maybe we're not wearing it on our sleeve, but we're presenting ourselves in a way that says, hey, we're a safe space.
Right.
So what is the recommendation? I know, and as a parent, Rena, you're a parent too, like, how do we navigate as parents when we see youth, and especially LGBTQ youth, and we know that they need help? Like, what's kind of a good way to approach that? Because it can be a kind of a difficult navigation.
Yeah, I think one of the first things that always comes to mind that I like to talk about with adults who are wanting to be supportive is really keeping consent at the forefront. So if you're talking with a young person and wanting to offer help, just really understanding where is that young person at and exactly what help or support might they want. It can, you know, feel important to maybe step in and here's resources, here's information, I can connect you with this counselor, but somebody may not be in a space to really want that support at that time. So kind of just starting with a, hey, how are you? Is there any support that you need? How could I help? Maybe there isn't anything necessarily at that point, but kind of just keeping that open dialogue. If you need something, if there's anything I can do, I'm here. And kind of just keeping that open dialogue. I really encourage that with parents as well. You know, when youth come out, either with their gender and or their sexuality, parents want to, you know, keep in that dialogue and stay connected. And sometimes youth might sort of detach a little bit right after coming out, because that's a really heavy, can be a really heavy, intense thing to reveal this part about yourself, even if it goes well with your parents or your family, it can still be a really intense process. So I always encourage parents to just really just try to keep an open window and an open dialogue of, I'm here if you want to talk. And, you know, I'm going to also do my own learning, my own research, kind of just my own exploration. And I might, you know, share some of this information that I learned with you, and we can talk about it if you want. But really just trying to keep an open dialogue, but really just letting the young person lead about what sort of support or engagement they want in any particular moment.
That is such good advice, to just let them lead. Just let the youth know that you are kind of an open door, and then let them kind of lead the conversation and where they feel comfortable. Because I think that they're... are a lot of us that might be on the opposite end of the spectrum and might jump a little bit too much into, oh, I'm mama bear now. I'm this. It's like, okay, just.
I want to talk about it every day at the coffee table. Like, right. And that's intimidating. Like, I don't want to talk about it every day. Exactly. I just said it. We're good. This is who I am. Drop it.
That's a really, really good tip. Like, let them lead how they want to proceed and just. Try and chill out, parents.
That's a really hard one.
Right. Yeah.
Like, my kid cries and I'm like, tell me what's wrong.
How can I fix it? How can I make you feel perfect? How can I make you feel better? How can I take away all your worries and sorrows? And you just can't.
I think that's out of her own trauma.
Yeah. You know, and especially, you know, if you have a child or a youth in your life who comes out as a teenager, you know, teenage years and adolescence, that's a normal developmental time anyway, that in general kids, teenagers pull away a little bit from parents. And so, you know, it's kind of normal in that process too, when someone comes out, that they sort of pull away, and the fancy term is they individuate from, you know, their family. So, but that's, you know, just encouragement that's just a sort of typical teenager process of like, hey, mom and dad, I don't need you as much anymore. I'm starting to grow up. I'm starting to figure things out. And that's a really natural process in life. And so as folks are navigating and continuing to explore their identity, it's kind of part of that. But
that's so hard. That's something I have to remind myself.
My kids are going to be with me until they're 40. What are you talking about?
But it's like you're doing something right if that happens, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if your kids all of a sudden are kind of exerting a little bit of independence, that means you did something right. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to keep reminding myself over and over as the bedroom door closes more often.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So, because you brought up something that says the access to mental health. I mean, clearly that's a problem. It's a bigger problem than I understood at this point. How, you know, a kid's listening right now and they're battling with their own mental health. Is there some things that they can do to just, is it finding that one person if they can't access a healthcare provider, or what? I mean, how do we cut this down? Like,
it's a pretty shocking number.
It's a very shocking number. And I feel like I need to go to every door and be like, you are loved. I love you. You know, like, you just come with me, like, tuck you under my wings. And it's hard not to do that. And I struggle.
Yeah, there's so much I want to say about that. So a couple things I want to highlight about Reclaim and the way that we do our work. A primary commitment of Reclaim since the beginning and still now is that we're committed to financial accessibility. So if there is a young person or a family who wants to get mental health care but they're concerned about finances, we never want that to be a barrier at Reclaim. So, you know, for youth and for families who have insurance, you know, we are able to take insurance and use that. But we have what we call an equity-based sliding scale. So we look at, instead of looking at like, okay, what's your income? How much do you make each year? We look at what's going on in the rest of your life? You know, what does security look like for you with your housing or with your transportation or food? And our therapists will have conversations with clients and with families. And, you know, if folks can pay a little bit, okay, that's great. But if they can't pay anything, that is 100% okay as well. And so we will work with youth and their families regardless of their ability to pay. And that is a huge reason why our community of supporters is so important, because, you know, we meet the need regardless of that finance. So another thing specifically to youth that I would say, and this is another access thing. Last year, Minnesota changed its age of consent laws for outpatient mental health care. And so now it was 18, but now it's 16. So now any 16 or 17-year-old can consent for their own mental health care. So they could reach out to us and connect with us, even if they know that their family wouldn't be supportive or they have concerns about that. We can consent directly with a 16 or 17-year-old. And that's another place where we will meet folks where they're at. Mm-hmm. We do know that, you know, if we have a 16 or 17-year-old who reaches out to us and is not able to involve their parents or caregivers in their care, we do know that we won't be able to use insurance because parents can have access to your information if you're on their coverage. Mm-hmm. They can see potentially the access you're getting.
Yeah.
But again, that's a place where we will leverage our financial accessibility commitment to meet folks and to get them into care, if at all possible, if we have openings. So.
That's great.
But I want to make sure that I shout out at this point that the ability to do that comes with donors, mm-hmm. and comes with financial, whether it's individual donors or corporate donors or, mm-hmm. you know, grants and things like that. You can't do it without the funding. And we talk a lot about mm-hmm. the funding, and we know that the dollars that go to LGBTQ organizations are significantly lower mm-hmm. than those that are not LGBTQ focused. And so if someone, they're hearing all this, they're just as troubled as I am learning this, where can they go to help make donations to Reclaim?
Sure. So Reclaim's website is www.reclaim.care. You can go to our homepage, and we have two primary buttons right on the top of our page. The first one is for young people or their families or social workers to click a button to request services. Mm-hmm. And we also have a button right at the top of our homepage if someone is wanting to donate to support our work.
Cool. And I will say this, just like I do on every other show, if you forget how to get to Reclaim's website, you can always go to tcpride.org. You can click the donate right in there that it goes to Reclaim, and we'll make sure that we get the funds over to you. But you know, it goes back to the funding and all this stuff. It can't be possible without our donors. So mm-hmm. I throw that out there every single time. So mm-hmm. if you are an individual donor that can, I mean, $5 goes a long way. And I say that, you know, every penny makes a difference. Mm-hmm. So don't hesitate or don't think it's not enough or whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. It is enough because those things, we joke $10 buys pizza for a game night for LGBTQ youth, finding a place
yep.
of comfort and finding, you know, that camaraderie in a team. So I want to make sure that I throw that out there. So what do you think, we like to talk about misconceptions, mm-hmm. right? And alleviating the bad information, the misconceptions. What do you think the biggest misconception is in youth mental health? Not to throw that crazy one at you.
Yeah,
but.
I think, oh, good question.
I didn't pre-warn you of that one.
I think, you know, I think there is still a lot of stigma around mental health care in general. Mm-hmm. And so I think the misconception is that if you feel like you want to talk to someone, there's the misconception that something must be really wrong with you.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. If you think about physical health, you know, you don't necessarily wait to go to the doctor until you're like, you have a major wound and you're bleeding everywhere. You know, like you might go to the doctor if you have a sore throat and that, you know, that's not like a major, it could just be, you know,
yep.
strep throat or something. It's not yep. huge right. and it's not significant and it's not this massive thing. And so mental health care is the same way, you know,
yes.
if you're feeling some sadness, if you're feeling some anxiety, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. It doesn't mean something's really messed up. It's an opportunity to get some additional support from someone.
That's a great analogy.
To learn some additional tools, skills, to be able to really take care of yourself. It's really about care. And so we promote physical care, we should promote mental care as well, because we're both physical and mental creatures. So
I think there might also be some misconceptions about how hard it is to get in touch with somebody to talk to. Mm-hmm. And I am imagining, especially since you're working with youth, you guys have streamlined the process pretty well. Mm-hmm. And so if there is a young person out there listening and wants to get in touch, is it going to jump through 20 hoops, or how does that process work for you guys?
Yeah, we really are trying to make it, we're trying to eliminate as many barriers as possible. So I mentioned, you know, someone can go to our website and there's a button right at the top of our homepage that they can click to request services. We essentially have like a pre-intake form built right into our website so they can answer a number of questions right away, sort of about what they're looking for, mm-hmm. The support that they need. You know, we can get their basic information to get in touch with them. Parents can fill that out on behalf of their child. You know, a school social worker could fill that out. You can mark on our form whether you are the person seeking care or you're, you know, reaching out on behalf of someone else. Mm-hmm. If somebody doesn't have internet access, they can just call our phone number and connect with us, and one of our staff can kind of walk them through the intake over the phone instead. But yeah, you don't have to necessarily refer yourself. Someone could help initiate the referral process for you to help get you connected. But we're really trying to make it as streamlined as possible.
Right, right. So it's basically, for anyone listening out there, you just have to get to reclaim.care and get that form filled out.
Yes.
The first step is filling out the form.
Yeah.
And we, you know, our office is physically located in St. Paul. And so we do some of our therapy is in person, but we can also do our therapy virtually. And so if getting to our office is physically a barrier, or if you, you know, don't live within driving distance of St. Paul, mm-hmm. we actually serve the entire state of Minnesota. So as long as you live in the state of Minnesota, we could provide care to you. And so if you live in a community outside of the Twin Cities, that can be virtual care to make sure that you still get the support that you're looking for. So
well, that's a wonderful point to mention. Yeah. And I think especially so many of young people today are very savvy with the online mm-hmm. meetings and online appointments. And mm-hmm. thanks to our pandemic as well. Mm-hmm. They are very savvy
about this.
And that's so wonderful to know that you guys will serve the whole state of Minnesota. So anybody that is out there in the state listening, they have a resource.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. So, and that's good to know, is that, you know, you don't just have to be in the metro area. Mm-hmm. I think that's also another big thing, is it's like, well, you know, we all know that rural parts of Minnesota aren't always as accepting of the community. So you have support, even though we're here in the Twin Cities, those that are rural have support in the ways that we can serve them. So I think that's really important. I also want to say that you will be at Pride again mm-hmm. this year in the youth area. If mm-hmm. you have questions, please make sure that you stop by the booth and ask. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not sure or you want to grab some of that information, you don't remember the website, you don't remember whatever, that's a great place to find you. You'll be in the yellow area in the youth zone. Mm-hmm. I know that because I put you there. Mm-hmm. And so make sure that you swing by and get the information that you need to make sure that you're successful in life. And we just want to make sure that any youth out there that are listening, or parents, caregivers of these youth, like, you matter. Mm-hmm. Like, I cannot say that enough. Like, you matter. You belong here. You need to be here. And you will make a difference in this world. You just don't know it yet. Mm-hmm. Like, our youth is so spectacular and has such a voice that I want to make sure that they understand, like, your voice does matter and it can make a huge impact. And there are support out here to help you, because it needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And you guys do such amazing work over at Reclaim that I want to make sure people have access to you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Do you have a current wait time for a therapist?
We do not right now. We do have some openings and can get folks in. And then in those moments that we do that we are full, we keep a list of other providers that we know and that we're connected with and
Fantastic.
Can help refer folks cool. to other providers, other clinics to get them connected ideally as soon as possible.
Yeah.
You know, if we're in a space that we're full at the okay. point that they reach out.
Because I know right now with healthcare, it is a little bit challenging.
Yes.
But as always, the time flies by in this studio. So we're going to take another break. But when we come back, we're going to finish up talking to Ryan from Reclaim. You are listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Drink from the fountains. There's more than one answer to these questions.
We are back, and you are listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on AM 950. I'm your co-host, Rena Heisel, along with Andy Otto, Executive Director of Twin Cities Pride. We have been talking about mental health care in the LGBTQ plus youth community with Ryan Fouts from Reclaim, a nonprofit organization here in the Twin Cities area that works with connecting LGBTQ plus youth with any mental health services that they may need. Very important work. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, it is incredibly important work, and I give you huge props on doing this work every day. Speaking of mental health, I always say EDs need to take care of their own mental health, too,
yeah.
because, you know, we get a lot of things that are thrown at us on a daily basis, and sometimes it can wear on our mental health when we can't solve the problem immediately. So I don't know how you do it, because if I was independently wealthy, I'd have just one giant house that I would put all the youth in, and we'd all have a really great time and take care of each other and all that. But newsflash, I work for a nonprofit and I'm not independently wealthy. So with that, Ryan, what are some other things that Reclaim's trying to do to make sure that you're accessible to everybody?
Yeah. So, you know, so I was mentioning that we serve youth throughout the entire state. And really, the basic requirement is if you are in Minnesota, we can provide care to you. If you are physically in the state of Minnesota, even if you, you know, technically live in Wisconsin or something, like if you are in Minnesota, we can work with you. But part of what we're also working on right now is expanding our network of mental health providers as well. So we have a project that we're working on where we are looking to contract with therapists who live and work in communities across the state to really contract with them to be able to provide therapy to youth who live in or around their community, to be able to provide that therapy to those youth on our behalf. You know, we recognize, you know, we have a team of therapists at Reclaim who are highly skilled and amazing people. You know, but we recognize that there can be like a cultural difference between, yeah. you know, maybe being in the office in St. Paul compared to, you know, Brainerd or Bemidji or Detroit Lakes. Like we just, you know, we recognize right. that there are different community norms and understandings. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be able to partner with therapists who live and work in various communities. You know, so maybe if a student is working with a therapist and says, you know, something like, I maybe want to come out at high school.
That's different in Marshall, Minnesota right. than St. Paul.
Yeah. You yeah. know, and a therapist who is familiar with and understands that community might be able to better support them in really navigating those dynamics and talking about safety and, mm-hmm. and those sorts of things. So that's one of the other projects we're working on, is to not only increase our access to young people, but to continue to build the network of providers who are skilled and equipped to provide really mm-hmm. strong, affirming, supportive mental health care to queer and trans youth. So
if you are a mental health care provider mm-hmm. outside of maybe the Twin Cities area, and this is something that interests you, how can they get a hold of you and say, hey, I'm here?
They can also go directly to our website, reclaim.care. They can email me. My email address is ryan@reclaim.care. And we can talk further about that process.
Yeah, I think especially as allies out there that are in these communities and that are seeing these communities right now need some safe space. Mm-hmm. And so if you're out there and this is something that you want to be involved in, please, please, please reach out to Ryan mm-hmm. And make sure that we are taking care of our youth if you guys haven't realized, youth is just such a passion for me because they're our future. And if we aren't taking care of them and their mental health and their physical health and, you know, just general well-being, we're in for a rude awakening as we move forward. And so please make sure that we are doing these things and reaching out if that's something that you can help.
Right. And in case we missed just earlier in the program, if you were tuning in later, just to mention that Ryan had informed us that of the number of youth out there in the community who would like to have access to some sort of mental health care, only what was it about?
49% of Minnesota's youth wanted care but were unable to get it. So we're one in two, basically.
One in two. And Reclaim is working to help bridge that gap. So it is that important. And reclaim.care is the website if you feel inclined to make a donation to help them do this important work.
Yes, because we're all nonprofits. We don't have millions of dollars in funds. What we comes in funds goes out to the care. And so we always encourage our listeners, and we're very, very grateful for our listeners to make sure that they understand where the financial pieces come from, and how we can continue to make these programs work and function and all of that fun stuff, because it goes by so incredibly fast. Money just comes in and flies out. I don't know about you, Ryan, but never enough.
No,
there's never enough to do all the work that we want to do. So, I'm so incredibly honored to know you, Ryan, and to know that the work that you do and have the chance to promote it. I am a huge, huge advocate of Reclaim and mental health, and I think everybody needs a therapist. That's my two cents in the world, because this world is tough, and we all need to talk about it, and we need to be able to get the stressors of our daily lives off of our shoulders and get some tools to navigate things. And so please, if you are even remotely thinking about needing a therapist, adult, youth, whatever it is, please make sure you reach out for the help. Please. And just like that, poof, we are out of time again. So I want to thank our listeners for joining us today, and thank you, Ryan, so much for being here and the important work that you do for the youth in our community. I do want to say an extra thank you to our sponsors, Children Minnesota and Mall of America, who always put youth up front and in the center of everything they do, and they continue to support us at Twin Cities Pride. So thank you for both of those sponsors who show up each and every time for that. We will be back next week as we dive into the challenging topic of adult mental health, which all of us in this room can relate to a little bit more. And, you know, just take care of your mental health, please. Please take care of your mental health. Youth, adult, elderly, that's a whole nother one that oftentimes don't go, given the stigma of when they were growing up, what that looks like. Your mental health is just as important, as you said, Ryan, as your physical health. So please don't hesitate to reach out for the help that you need. There were two things that I wanted to bring up. If you need help, and I'm pulling this right off of Reclaim's website, if you are in crisis in Minnesota, you can text MN to 741741, and they will connect you with someone who can help you through that crisis. You can send START to 678678. That is the Trevor Project, that can help you support and navigate through that. There is the Trans Lifeline, which is 877-565-8860. That will help support. You can also call the Trevor Project directly at 866-488-7386. Those are all numbers that you can reach out to at any point in time. You can reach out to myself. You can reach out to Ryan. Please just reach out for the care. We care about you. We want you to be here. And so with that, I want to let everybody know that we will see you next week. You are listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. Let's please take care of each other all year long.
My mama told me when I